A 2013 study showed that Americans eat about 50 billion burgers each year, or about three a week for every person in the United States. Here's another burger stat. McDonald's says it sells 75 burgers every second of every minute of every hour of every day.
Maybe we all have our own personal spins on how we prepare our burgers. Producer Bill Martins likes his well done with cheddar, bacon, ketchup, mustard, pickles, and onions on an untoasted bun. Doesn't have quite the same ring as the McDonald's jingle, but you get the points.
Whatever your tastes, on this edition of Food Friday, our guest has some tips for getting the most bang for our burgers. We'll also talk dessert with ice cream and pies and a riff on lemonade.
Anna Thomas Bates is a writer and cheesemaker from the Greene County Village of Albany. Her Tallgrass Kitchen columns appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she recently wrote a four-part series about these summer classics. Her website is tallgrasskitchen.com. Anna, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, tell us a little bit about the series that you've been writing for the Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, you know, summertime is just all about relaxing, fireflies, swimming, and it's all about the food. We're going to barbecues, we're going to potlucks, we're going to parties, but no one wants to spend a lot of time cooking it, but you want to spend a lot of time enjoying it. So the series was all about some of these summer classics, pies, burgers, lemonade, ice cream, and how to have some interesting riffs on them and how to make them quickly and deliciously.
So Anna, were burgers part of your 4th of July menu?
They were, yes. And we that three-week statistic was kind of surprising. I guess maybe
Chris
not.
And I thought
eat
so too.
Burgers a week, but I do like them every once in a while.
Well, I want to tell you about the way I make burgers. So I get really good grass-fed beef, ground beef, and in the middle of them, I make kind of a little indentation, and I put in chopped shallots and also whole cumin seeds, and then and a little salt and pepper, and then I fold it over. And basically, when the burger's on the grill, it kind of steams the shallots and the cumin, and so it's just a really, it's very simple, and you know, not a lot of competing flavors, but it's got a really nice savory element to it.
Yeah, it sounds very fragrant and delicious.
It is.
So I'm on the opposite end of that. I take a piece of meat, and I throw it on the grill, so I'm a little uninspired. But how much room for creativity do we have, Anna, when it comes to making burgers?
Well, you know, the purists will tell you to put almost nothing into the meat, that if you really want to cook the meat the best way possible, first of all, they'll say to grind your own, which I never have time to do that, but it's, if you have the time, you should definitely go for it. The best tip I can give you is make sure you have some fat in that beef. And like Judith, I love to do pasture-raised beef as well. But something with at least 20% fat is going to be ideal for on that grill. I do like to add in some herbs and some seasonings for flavor, but the purists will say just, you know, don't handle that meat too much. Get really good meat and just cook it gently to medium rare or medium, or if you're Bill, medium well or well done.
It's funny that you said that about meat grinding. I was at a store recently looking at some KitchenAid accessories, and there was a representative from KitchenAid there, and she was, you know, telling me about the benefits of the different attachments for the mixer, and she said, "Are you interested in grinding your own meat?" And I said, "I don't think so, but maybe I should be rethinking this. It sounds like this is a really great way to spice up your burger."
To really get the best texture, that's what the experts will tell you, is to grind your own. And a lot of it's just for, you know, where it's coming from. It's coming from one single piece of meat, and it's also not being handled very much, so you're going to get the best texture in that burger.
So, Anna, were we to get inspired and Chris goes out and buys that KitchenAid accessory, what cut of meat would you want to get to grind?
You know, basic chuck is just fine. As long as you have that fat content in there, that's kind of the most important element. You can get fancy and get sirloin, but really chuck is gonna taste delicious.
So what are some common mistakes that people make when they are actually grilling or cooking their burgers?
I think handling the meat too much, because it just gets dense, it seizes up, and you're going to have a tougher burger. So you can put some seasonings and some herbs in it, but just to be very gentle. Judith mentioned putting a dimple in the middle. She did that for her ingredients, but also when you're grilling, if you have a little indentation in the middle, that will also keep the burger from shrinking up too much, because that's just the way it cooks. Getting good meat and not handling it too much are kind of the best tips.
And I will say, I have heard right here on the Ideas Network on grilling programs that one of the worst things you can do is to press that burger down, because you're basically wringing out all of that good juice.
That is very true.
And does it make a big difference if we're cooking it on the grill, if we're cooking it on the stovetop, or somewhere else? Do you have a preferred way of doing it?
You know, the grill is nice in the summertime because you're getting out of the kitchen. It's not too hot. You're going to add some extra flavor, especially if you're using charcoal. However, if you are inside the house, using a cast iron skillet is another great way because you can get it really hot like a grill and get a nice quick sear on the outside.
Well, Anna, you have a recipe for gremolata burgers, which we've posted on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And also, you can get that and many recipes from many different Food Fridays at WPR.org/Food Friday. First off, tell us what gremolata is.
Yeah, gremolata is just an Italian kind of herb, garlic, lemon zest mix. So it's very bright, very fresh, and a really great seasoning for summer. And typically, you can use it to top soup, to put on pasta. It's great on fresh bread, and here we mixed it into a burger.
So walk us through this recipe. How do we make this?
Yeah, so you're going to start by making the gremolata. So you're going to mince up a lot of parsley, some garlic, some lemon zest, and then you're just going to gently combine that with your ground beef and very carefully shape those burgers.
And are there any sides that go well with that? It's funny, I don't think of lemon with beef that often. Are there good side dishes that would go with that?
Oh, you know, you could do some very simple just grilled vegetables if you had some asparagus to throw on the grill with it, or a nice bright fruit salad would be delicious as well.
And I've got to ask you, Anna, what kind of bun do you prefer? Are you a traditionalist, you know, straight up white bun, wheat bun, or I'm a fan of pretzel buns. Do you have a favorites?
Those pretzel buns are really good.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I used for this one because my kids love them too.
Oh, go ahead, Anna.
I was going to say, sometimes I even skip the bun and just wrap it in lettuce with some tomato, some fresh, juicy tomato.
And, you know, we have to ask for Bill, toasted or untoasted?
You know, maybe it's because I'm lazy, but I usually do not toasted.
All right. Well, Bill will be happy to hear that. We're talking with Anna Thomas Bates right now. She's a writer and cheesemaker from southern Wisconsin, and her Tallgrass Kitchen columns appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking about a recent series she did on twists on all-time summer classics. Well, you know, we need to wash all these great burgers down with something. Lemonade is always popular on a hot summer day, but if we want to try a little something different, maybe a little less sugary, you have a beverage that involves hibiscus tea and lime juice. Tell us about that hibiscus lime Arnold Palmer. And Arnold Palmer is lemonade and iced tea, right?
It is lemonade and iced tea, and we are, in our family, a huge fan of Arnold Palmer's, primarily because then my kids are getting, you know, half the sugar of the lemonade because they're getting some nice tea in there with it. And so this is just a riff on that. So instead of using a black tea, I used a hibiscus tea, and Rishi out of Milwaukee has a really nice hibiscus tea. Also, Tazo, which is widely available in grocery stores, has a nice hibiscus tea called Passion. And instead of lemonade, we used basically a homemade limeade. So when you're making lemonade or limeade, equal parts simple syrup, which is sugar and water, equal parts sugar and water, and then add that to an equal part of your citrus juice, your lemon or your lime, and you've got a nice lemonade there, and you can add in your ice and water to the proper dilution. But yeah, mixing that up with a hibiscus tea, it's really light, really refreshing, and has a bright tropical twist.
And let's say we want to put a little extra something in the Arnold Palmer, any kind of spirits that would go nicely with that?
Oh, I would say gin, hands down.
we both just had that moment of contemplating this drink, and it sounded really good. What I'm also wondering, too, my only exposure, really, to Arnold Palmer's are those ones that come in those really big cans that are just super sugary, super sweet. I've never actually had a homemade one. What am I missing out on?
Well, that's the nice part of making your own is that you can tailor it to how much sweetness you want. So you're freshly squeezing that lime juice or that lemon juice, so that's going to be very bright. And you can put in as much or as little sugar as you want. I think things are more refreshing when they're less sweet, especially in the summertime. And another thing, it's always kind of interesting to add a little tiny pinch of salt in some of these drinks. I don't think I called for it in this recipe, but especially for summertime, it can be really refreshing and can really cut that sweetness.
Wow, I never thought of that. Well, we're talking about classic summer food and new twists on them with Anna Thomas Bates. She's a writer and cheesemaker from Greene County. She recently wrote a four-part series in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about burgers, lemonade, ice cream, and pies.
And we want to hear from you, too, at 800-642-1234. How do you like to cook and fix up your burgers? What kind of sides do you like to serve with them? What do you think is the secret to a great burger? And what's your go-to summer dessert or summer dish? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at ideas@WPR.org. And if you go to WPR.org, we've posted Anna's recipes for gremolata burgers, fresh strawberry pie cups. We're going to get to that in a little bit. And many more. That's over on the Ideas Network Facebook page as well.
And we'll pick up this conversation in just a moment. Stay with us here on Central Time.
Right now, we're continuing our discussion about classic all-American summer fare during this Independence Day week. We're talking burgers, lemonade, pies, and even ice cream with Anna Thomas Bates. She's a writer and cheesemaker from Albany in Greene County. Her Tallgrass Kitchen columns appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and her website is tallgrasskitchen.com.
And we want to hear your twists on those and other foods that go along with summer at 800-642-1234. How do you like your burgers? Do you have a simple tip or recipe to share? And what sides do you like to serve with them? What's on the menu for your next summer cookout? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@WPR.org. And Anna, you've got a couple dessert options to share with us, both of which involve strawberries. Can't get much more summery than that. Let's start with a summer staple, the pie. Only this isn't the classic 9-inch round pies. These are individual cups. What's the story behind that?
So I run a little cheese shop in Paola, and I have a regular customer, and he comes in once or twice every single week, and he usually comes in when it's slower, and we chat, and we were talking about the best fruit pie that we'd each ever had, and he mentioned a little place up in northern Wisconsin, and he said basically it wasn't a cooked pie, that it was a lovely, light little individual pie crust, but then they just had macerated fruit put into the cup and served it with whipped cream. And I just thought how perfect that is, because when you cook the fruit, it loses a little bit of its magic. But if you just macerate those berries, the strawberries, the raspberries, the blueberries, the little bit of sugar, let their natural juices come out, and then have a really beautiful buttery crisp pie crust, you have all the elements of a good pie. And it's actually so much simpler too.
And for people who might not be familiar with the word macerate, can you tell us exactly what that means?
Sure. Basically, it's just adding a little bit of sugar, which brings out the liquid in those berries. So you're essentially creating a light sweet syrup to go with those berries, but it's coming from the berries themselves. You're not adding anything except a little bit of that sugar.
And you're making that with just a traditional pie crust, and you're just kind of cutting it up into, you know, little smaller chunks, I guess?
Yeah, it's like a tart crust. You could use any pie crust recipe that is your favorite. I found one from David Leibovitz that was actually a French tart crust that had a really different preparation, where you put the butter and some oil and water into the oven, let everything melt, added in that flour really quickly, and then it was very pliable and really easy to push into little muffin cups to make individual little pie cups. But you could do that with any favorite pie crust recipe that you had.
And so you're adding a little sugar to the berries. Is there anything else you can add in there? I mean, I've had strawberries with balsamic vinegar just drizzled on them, and that's an amazing flavor combination.
Yeah, strawberries are interesting, and they go well with some savory elements. Black pepper is another interesting thing to pair with strawberries.
And you can't have pie, I think, without ice cream. You certainly can't have summer without ice cream. Sticking with the strawberry theme here, you also have a recipe for strawberry shortcake ice cream. Now, I tend to think of strawberry shortcake as one thing. Ice cream is another thing. This sort of gives you the best of both worlds. Walk us through this recipe.
Sure. So I could do an entire show on ice cream. It is hands down my favorite thing to make all summer long. And so this was just a riff on one of my recipes. I took my favorite kind of vanilla ice cream base, which is from Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream. She runs a whole ice cream empire out of Ohio, and she has a great cookbook. And then I added essentially a strawberry jam ribbon in there. And then I just did crushed up shortbread cookies. But if you had your own shortbread cookie recipe, you could sprinkle that in as well. And then after the ice cream is made, you just fold in that strawberry jam and those shortbread cookies to get strawberry shortcake ice cream.
Wow, that sounds really delicious. Now, I have to admit that I'm kind of in the same category of never having thought of grinding my own meat for hamburgers. I've never actually felt like taking on making my own ice cream. It seems like a big process. What is the process of making ice cream at home?
So it can be very simple or it can be more complex. I do have a small Cuisinart ice cream maker where you freeze the bowl and use that to stir and freeze the ice cream. You can get them, I think, for about $40, and they really make delicious ice cream. There are a lot of recipes online nowadays that use sweetened condensed milk, and because of the texture of that sweetened condensed milk, you can get away with making ice cream without a machine. But I think you get a little bit better results if you do have a machine or a KitchenAid attachment. So if you're going for that meat grinder, you might as well get their ice cream maker, too.
Maybe they'll have a deal on two attachments for the price of one.
And then once you start mixing up the ice cream, there's a few different ways to go, too. You can do custard, which would be a cooked egg and cream and sugar base, which is a little bit more complicated. In the recipe that I have posted, the strawberry shortcake ice cream, there's also a link to my super fast kind of family ice cream recipe, which actually you just mix up eggs, cream, half and half, milk, sugar, and vanilla, and you put that ice cream base right into your ice cream maker. But the best ice cream recipe that I found, hands down, is Jenny Brittenbauer from Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream. And she adds in a little bit of corn syrup and cornstarch and cream cheese. Mm. And all those elements work together to create a very thick, rich ice cream that doesn't get icy. That's kind of the biggest flaw with most ice cream recipes is after about a day, they get very icy in the freezer. And this one tastes amazing for weeks, not that it would ever last that long in your freezer.
Yeah, I saw the cream cheese in the recipe, and I thought, I've never thought about putting that into ice cream before. Is that something that you can also use in other kinds of ice cream as well, do you think?
You could. I kind of use this recipe as a base for lots of different jumping-off points. I did a rhubarb crisp ice cream a year or two ago. There's only 3 tablespoons in there, so it's really just to add some concentrated fat to this recipe to get a very smooth texture.
We're talking with Anna Thomas-Bates right now. She's a writer and cheesemaker from southern Wisconsin. We're talking about some new twists on classic summer fare, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Anna, what about other desserts, maybe, or other types of ice cream? Are there some that are a little less sweet, might appeal to some of the more adult members of the group? We talked about what spirits we could put into our Arnold Palmer. Are there any boozy ice creams that we might want to consider?
There are. You can definitely add booze to lots of different ice creams. You can't add a whole lot because it messes up the freezing point of that ice cream. But I have definitely done, I've done a bourbon peach ice cream before that turned out really well. So vanilla, bourbon, and peaches are a nice complement to one another. But you can also do ice pops. So if you don't want to do the ice cream maker, you can also consider just getting some basic popsicle molds or using paper cups, and then you can add booze into those as well. And there's lots of different options to go that way.
So Anna, you said that, you know, we could do a whole show on ice cream, and I think we could. I mean, what's happening in your kitchen all summer long? Are you constantly, you know, churning out new flavors, trying different experiments, and maybe what are some of the results of the more successful experiments?
Yeah, I really like to go with the seasonal flavors, and kind of the easiest way to take advantage of all of that produce that's happening is to basically do a little jam like I did with strawberries. So you make a great vanilla ice cream base, and then if you have peaches or blueberries or blackberries or raspberries, if you just either roast them a little bit, and a lot of this is just to remove some of that extra liquid, which would make your ice cream too icy. So either roast them or you put them on the stovetop with just a tiny bit of sugar and cook them down a little bit. So like you're making a super fast jam base. And then once that ice cream is churned, you just fold that in like a nice ribbon of whatever lovely seasonal local fruit that you have.
Are there any simple sauces for putting on the ice cream? I mean, these ice creams sound like they would be amazing on their own, but sometimes it's nice to have just a little bit of garnish on there.
Yeah, I mean, you can again use the fruit as a sauce. There's some really good simple hot fudge recipes or chocolate syrup recipes if you want to make that on your own as well. What's really Wisconsin and very simple, especially if it's vanilla or peaches, is just a little bit of maple syrup as a topping. Hmm.
So we've talked a lot about iconic summer dishes, certainly burgers, ice cream, pie, things like that. I also tend to think of hot dogs, bratwurst, various sausage, and that's just for me personally. But I'm wondering if are there any other like quintessential American dishes that are a must-make for you every summer?
You know, I think I kind of covered them in this series, the lemonade. I mean, I also love to do big, beautiful salads, and I like to add a little bit of fruit into those salads, too. So nectarines, peaches, blueberries with some really great spinach, and some nice lemony dressings with lots of herbs are kind of another summer staple.
What about, we're going to be in the midst of corn season pretty soon. What about any interesting ways to use all that great Wisconsin sweet corn?
Well, you can actually do sweet corn ice cream, which is amazing. And there are some recipes on the JS Online for some good sweet corn ice cream. But grilling corn is another great way to go. And there's kind of some debate whether you should grill it in the husk or not in the husk. It's very simple to soak that husk in water for a few minutes and then put that right on the grill, and that way the steam kind of cooks the corn. But I'm also kind of a advocate of the basic old-fashioned, you know, boil it in a pot for just like under a minute. It barely needs to be cooked when it's that fresh and sweet, and just some really great Wisconsin salted butter on top.
I've also had really good corn with kind of a compound butter, so some herbs or some spices right in the butter too.
Yeah, and then kind of the Mexican street grilled corn with some chili and some lime and some sour cream is really delicious too.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Anna Thomas-Bates is a writer and cheesemaker from Greene County in southern Wisconsin. Her Tallgrass Kitchen columns appear in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She joined us to talk about her favorite twists on classic summer meals.
And you can find recipes that she shared with us, including her gremolata burgers and that strawberry shortcake ice cream, over at the Ideas Network Facebook page or at wpr.com/foodfriday.